So Albert Breer of the MMQB threw out the idea, this rumor that the Patriots, who had that big story come out on ESPN exactly a week ago today, he said that the number one guy to replace Bill Belichick in New England is Bill O'Brien. That, and he thinks this has been communicated to O'Brien. He did
Whoa!
This, yep.
That's tampering.
Yeah, this is on something called FanCred Live Sports Talk Show.
So, and Albert Breer was just dishing on this? He didn't write it or anything? He just said it?
Yeah, he just said it in some kind of like live streaming sort of thing. So he was on with the guys on the Sports Hub in Boston, and he basically said, I just feel like O'Brien knows what the quarterback thinks of him, Brady. He knows what the owner thinks of him. And I believe he is viewed as a guy who is the ideal replacement for Bill if they had their choice.
That's great. And at first blush, you're like, all right, well, wait a second. Two things can happen. One, maybe you're not a fan of Bill O'Brien to begin with, but then as soon as you hear that New England wants him, does it change much in the same way that when you realize that when a woman realizes that a guy is coveted by other women, like all of a sudden he becomes more attractive? Like, wait a second, maybe this guy is. I don't find Bill O'Brien particularly attractive, but gosh, this hot chick New England does. So if she does, maybe I kind of want him now too. So there's that. The other is this though. And hear me out on this. Don't slap me after the first sentence. Why exactly would Bill O'Brien want to go take the head coaching job in New England?
Okay.
When you're not assured that Tom Brady's going to be there for much more than a couple years. Like, if you're honestly, your best career move as a head coach in the NFL would be what? A, working with young quarterback Deshaun Watson,
yes.
Or B, going up to try to smoke the butt of Tom Brady. The smoke the butt that is Tom Brady. I'm making a cigarette analogy here, not an actual literally kissing Tom Brady's butt.
Plus, this sort of implies that Belichick could leave before Brady does, which I don't think is something that is likely to happen at all.
Then it gets into that whole realm of speculation of, okay, does Bill Belichick really want to leave now? Could they trade him? All of this. And that's just, it's flat out very, very, very unlikely. I don't want to say it's never going to happen. Who knows what could actually happen or what's going on behind closed doors. But it doesn't make sense for any of those people up there. Maybe if even, let's say that Seth Wickersham article is completely correct. Maybe even worse, that everybody just hates each other up there. That all three of those guys, Kraft, Belichick, and Brady, just can't stand each other. Even if that were the situation, I still think that they'd stick around for an extra couple of years. Because now, that one thing that could have broken it all up, that little Yoko Ono that is Jimmy Garoppolo, is
gone.
Yoko has left the building.
Yoko
now,
has left the building.
Without Yoko around, the Beatles can subsist for at least another couple of years.
I like Breer's work, but sometimes he writes about Bill O'Brien, who I like as if he's been Lombardi.
Yeah.
And he has not been Lombardi. And I'm not talking about Redskins Lombardi, which will come up today.
Breer is in love with O'Brien a little bit, isn't he?
It's a little much.
It's a little creepy.
It's a little much.
He's like, he's got probably
like, hold your horses.
Magazine article pictures up on his wall.
He's been a solid NFL coach.
Albert Breer spent last night putting together a Bill O'Brien montage. Like an actual, not an audio montage like we do, but you know, little magazine clippings.
Like actually sitting.
Yeah, you have a glue
cutting.
Stick and you put Bill O'Brien's here, and then you follow the progression from Bill O'Brien in college, where he had a beautiful head of hair, to now.
Serious question: if you guys were calling the shots in New England, let's say Bill Belichick did go to the New York Giants, if you had your choice between Bill O'Brien, Matt Patricia, and Josh McDaniels, let's pretend that Matt Patricia hadn't taken the job yet. Which one are you taking?
Well, let me start off. We'll start at the bottom and move our way up. No amount of people telling me how reformed Josh Daniels is will make me feel like that makes him the right choice.
McDaniels.
What did I say?
Daniels.
Oh, I was just thinking about life. Okay.
It's okay.
That's weird. What did I say?
Josh Daniels.
It's right. Okay.
So this is the thing about BJ Daniels. No amount of people telling me that Josh McDaniels is a different guy now makes me feel like, oh, okay, that means he should be the guy moving forward. To me, he becomes just yet another offensive coordinator who's left New England and not done much offensively, including Bill O'Brien until he got Deshaun Watson. So I don't care about Josh McDaniels because frankly I haven't seen how much he's supposedly changed. Matt Patricia or Bill O'Brien. Matt Patricia is very much a wild card, and I almost, to avoid being a hypocrite, I have to favor Matt Patricia, because what am I in favor of, Mike? I'm in favor of head coaches who don't fit the CEO mold. I'm sick, like that. I'm sick of billionaires who don't know football thinking that they need a head coach who looks more like a Wall Street businessman than a blue-collar worker. Give me Matt Patricia, because that's a guy that can relate to younger players, that's all about the football. I don't care that he doesn't have polished fingernails or he's not afraid to piss people off every now and then.
If it were me, if Belichick were to somehow leave this offseason, I would actually promote Josh McDaniels. Because I think it gives you the best hope of having continuity. And I admit I disagree a little bit with Seth. I do buy into the idea that McDaniels has changed from where he was in Denver, just because I think it's like a normal life
thing.
Well,
it's normal to change, but why does that mean, like, well, he'll go from being an atrocious embarrassment to now being awesome? Like, how is that change the one that people are so easily make?
I think it's because he has a lot of talent. That's why. I think he's a talented
by
guy.
By that, you mean he has Tom Brady?
No, I mean, I put it this way. Like, if Josh McDaniels was my brother, I'd be like, I have a really successful brother. Right. I'd feel that way. I know that sounds weird.
It's just hard to extricate any of these guys from Tom Brady.
Understood. Josh went 8-8 in Denver, then he went 3-9, and he got fired. He also drafted
Tim Tebow.
I know.
Got rid of Jay Cutler.
I know. I'm glad he did that because he wouldn't do that again. And getting rid of Jay Cutler ultimately was the right decision, because they could have kept Jay Cutler and they could have gotten 8-8, 9-7 for 7 years in Denver.
Or they could have gotten the most out of Jay Cutler.
They would not.
We're going to talk about how Jay Cutler's been done wrong in Chicago. He only had a good offensive coordinator for 1.5 seasons.
I thought he was crazy for getting rid of Jay Cutler. Uh-huh. I was wrong about that. Mm-hmm. He was 100% right. His problem was Tebow.
By the way, you know what's fun? There is like a little small sector of insane Jay Cutler fans.
Really?
Who will come after you on Twitter. When I made that little joke about how the next Gruden QB camp has to be, now that Gruden's gone and can't do Gruden QB camp anymore, I wanted to replace it with Peyton Manning and Jay Cutler, and it would be like an angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. There were people that took serious offense to me comparing Jay Cutler to the devil. He really, and I'm like, there would be no person that would be a bigger fan of that than Jay Cutler, I feel. Jay Cutler would love being personified as a devil in that relationship. God.
What a world we live in today.
Speaking of devils, yeah. I just feel like we've ignored this story, and maybe 6:52 on a Friday isn't the best time to bring it up.
Yeah, tell me about this.
These Silicon Valley sex parties, Mike. Have you been invited to one?
Not yet.
Apparently, it's commonplace now in Silicon Valley, where people are just they're pushing the envelope in terms of defying human convention and being or social conventions and just being completely open to new experiences and everything. So it's almost become common business practice, according to some people, to have these big, wide open. Wow. Orgiastic sex parties, and people come, they bring their associates, venture capitalists are there. There's some people that are wringing their hands about it because it's kind of like, okay, these are venture capitalists that are being invited to a sex party. That tends to appeal to men more than women? Than women business people, perhaps, like just to generalize.
Maybe.
I'm not trying to, but this is, I read these accounts and I try to put myself in this situation, and I just, for the life of me, if I can envision myself like actually in the act, then okay, yeah, I guess that's a good time.
There's an appeal to it.
I don't know how I could actually make it through the first 10 minutes of one of these things. Like, as far as the awkwardness
getting to that point.
And the...
Yeah, I'm just imagining Seth Payne showing up in a suit to some guy's house in Silicon Valley.
I'll read this excerpt. This is how the night goes down. Let me give the young lady credit. I'll give it at the end because I don't want to lose my spot on here. So this is from this book. This is how the night goes down according to those who have attended. And this is where I'm like, okay, I'm attending a sex party. Well, how do I conduct myself? Well, this is what you do, Mike. Guests arrive before dinner and are checked in by private security guards who will turn you away if you're not on the list. Well, I like that. That's putting my mind at ease already. It's like there's not going to be some weirdo here like Charles Manson is going to show up. Sometimes the evening is catered. Oh, yeah. I would prefer that it's not, frankly. I don't need a bunch of onlookers. I don't need a bunch of waiters like onlooking in my debauchery. But at the most intimate gatherings, guests will cook dinner together. That way they don't have to kick out the help after dessert. Okay, that makes sense then. I like that. I like where we're making dinner together. Alcohol lubricates the conversation until after the final course, the drugs roll out. And again,
what kind of drugs are we talking here?
Well, I'll tell you what we're
talking
about. Obviously,
X and
some
cocaine.
Form of MDMA, aka ecstasy or Molly.
Okay.
Known for transforming relative strangers into extremely affectionate friends. That's a de rigueur. I guess that makes sense then. If you're there's no possible way I could do this. I've never tried the Molly because I'm
miserable, man.
I'm terrified of most drugs because I feel like I've got an addictive personality.
You might like it if you were just relaxing, but it's miserable. 10 years ago, maybe I tried it and I was just like, man, I can't even deal with this. I don't see how you could share your partner.
That's where I can't.
Yeah, I can't
get past that.
I can't deal with that.
Like, without judging anybody else, like, I honestly, I couldn't get past that.
Yeah.
Some
people are willing to do that, though.
Yeah.
Some people are willing, but I've been in a relationship where I lived with a girl for 2 years and we got tired of each other. But even then, I wouldn't want to go to one of these sex parties and like see her with someone else. I couldn't do it.
No.
I agree with you fully on
that.
Whenever I read these stories, I'm like, this is just way too much drama for me. I cannot handle what is happening here.
Landry, have you ever been in the situation where like you're totally done with a woman? Like you're like, oh, I'm so sick of you. I can't wait. I'm just waiting to break up with you.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then all of a sudden you find out that she might have cheated on you and you're like, oh God, no, no. My stomach.
Lauren Phillips in fifth grade. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You, know, you hated her, and then you found out that she cheated on you, and you got the stomach ache.
She cheated with Trey Clawson, and I.
Trey Clawson.
What is that?
What a fraud.
Feeling? The feeling of that. It's like a weird stomach ache nausea. Like, you don't feel like throwing up, but it feels like kind of like an... I don't know if there's another feeling like it than like the feeling that you might have been betrayed. It's a whole separate...
It's a bad feeling.
It's a whole separate body experience.
7:15, we're going to make you feel better about the Texans heading into 2018, courtesy of Dabo Sweeney. Top of the hour, the stories you need to know about. Landry Locker's top five biggest storylines that you should care about.